Blog Talk Radio.
Hello everyone, good morning. This is Laurie Smith, this is One Child to Be Survivor to Another Restoration, and this is Friday morning, July 21st. I'm glad to be here, 7 o'clock here in the morning, just waking up and having a coffee, and hopefully you're having a good morning. We're looking at really a morning reflection, just looking at sort of information that I found helpful, really, for my own journey. So hopefully it's helping other people out, too. Mainly from HAVOCA, H-A-V-O-C-A, Help for Adult Victims of Child Abuse, HAVOCA.org. And that music that comes on there first is it's for another show that I started doing here on Blog Talk Radio just recently, the whole issue looking at women and abuse. And so... But it comes on all my shows now, and I have to try to catch it before it starts because I don't usually put music on this show. But sorry about that. So, yeah, so I've had a good week so far. Hopefully your week has been good as well. I'm extremely tired. It's Friday. I'm like, wow, I worked all week. It's very, very busy. All kinds of stuff going on in my personal life as well as just trying to work. I work pretty well full-time. And so, yeah, I'm really wiped out today, but today's Friday, which is great, so I got the weekend off, but I didn't get to do any work on my stuff at all. I didn't get to do any work on my workbooks that I'm working through, looking at the workbooks that I started doing with, which is Allender's work, Dr. Danby Allender, Wounded Heart and stuff like that, so I didn't get to do any of that. I've been extremely busy. Hopefully within the next week or so I can get back into that, because that's really helpful, helping me out, so... you know, these are things that I can kind of keep a check on to make sure that I'm getting things done and working on things. Tonight, Friday, 21st, I'm a returning guest on SCAN, Stop Child Abuse Now. That's NASCA's, the National Association for Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, NASCA, NASCA.org. Bill Murray and team, they have a Blog Talk Radio show here as well called SCAN, Stop Child Abuse Now. And LAPD community policing, community awareness and whatnot. So I hope you'll check it out. But I'm going to be a guest on the show there tonight. And hopefully you can join me there. It's going to be 6 o'clock p.m. Mountain Standard Time. And you can just find it by just typing SCAN scan on Blog Talk Radio, and it'll bring it up. And then you can just click on it and go to the webpage here for Blog Talk Radio. And it's going to be good. I like to do interviews there, and I've been a guest there a few times over the years. And now I'm actually an ambassador for Alberta, and which is really cool because I just signed up for that, and it was really gracious of them to let me do that. And so hopefully you'll go, and if you wanted to sort of get in on my interview, that'd be great. Otherwise, that's all right. We'll get into the show here. Just want to pick up really sort of where we left off last time and doing a quick morning reflection. How am I doing? How am I feeling? I'm actually feeling pretty good. I'm just really tired. And so I don't have any, I haven't had any real flashbacks or particular things like that going on that have been, you know, dreadful or too hard to deal with or anything. I think it's just because I've been so busy. So haven't had any time to sit around and think or really feel much of anything except for the just go, go, go. So that's been my week. And, I haven't had a chance to really think about anything or do anything. So it's been a relatively good week, just busy. And if you're starting out on your healing journey and you're a survivor of abuse, you might want to do a safety checklist just to make sure you're safe enough to be listening to anything like this, like my show or anybody else's show, dealing with topics of abuse and whatnot. Just because you want to make sure you're safe enough, right? So do a safety checklist if you haven't. If you don't know how to do that, you can get that information from ASCA, Adult Survivors of Child Abuse and Morris Center Program, and they have that Survivor to Thriver workbook there. You can kind of just read it online or you can download it. I downloaded it. The first chapter is Safety First, and it's like 60 pages long. It's really huge, and it's really worth reading. So you want to make sure you're safe enough. If you're not sure if you're safe enough, you know, to listen to something like this, and it might not trigger you and send you backward in your healing journey or cause you to feel uncomfortable and maybe have you have a miserable day sort of thing, then turn the show off and don't listen to it or anything like it, because you don't want to be triggered and go back when you're in your healing journey and just have a miserable day. That's not good. You don't want to hurt yourself or anybody else around you. So make sure you're safe enough to listen. And everybody else, just listen at your own discretion, right? So we're looking at this morning picking up Havoka. This is information for survivors, feelings, emotional health. And I don't have the chat room open there this morning. I was just running kind of late here this morning, trying to get everything done this morning before I start the show. So usually I put the chat room open, but I didn't do it today. But Monday I'll put the chat room back up. We looked at how outer calm versus inner storm, dealing with emotional distress and its physical effects. They were saying that, you know, it's not so much worry that seems to be the main problem with heart disease and, you know, reduced immune system function and altered hormonal patterns. They said there's just increased evidence, however, that even a more lethal force than high anxiety is high hostility. Well, of course, you can think about how your body feels when you, if you have ever become hostile at any point, which is really angry hostility, you know, if it's strongly repressed, it can be very, very damaging to the body. So they're talking about outer calm versus inner storm. We went over that on Monday. And reclaiming emotions, that's the next portion of this. So we'll pick up right here. And they said, this is from Havoka, HAVOCA.org. For survivors of childhood abuse, recognizing the potential dangers of repressed emotion underscores the importance of the work done in therapy and in other activities focused on recovery. So typically, survivors have lived with years of severe stress and have learned to repress their hostility against their abusers as a survivor skill. Yeah, survival. Even a single event may lead to traumatic stress, chronic anxiety, and repressed age that persists for years. And a major part of the recovery process involves reclaiming emotions, particularly anger. And the next section we'll just read it and then I'll talk a little bit about this. I think it's very interesting. As the work of reclaiming emotions proceeds, most survivors need a way to ventilate the newfound hostility that comes to the surface. And the most common but least effective way that repressed people ventilate hostility is to have periodic blow-ups in which the person temporarily loses control and says everything that's bothering him or her. And they go on to talk about writing and stuff. And I think this is kind of interesting. I mean, not everybody would go through this. I don't think, you know, it just depends on the situation. I mean, we've all been through different things, even though we share, like, as survivors of abuse, you know, we share the commonality of being abused. But otherwise, that's about it, because everybody's been through different things, different situations. And so not everybody, that's why not all therapy or all recovery type stuff works for everybody, because some people, you know, everybody's different, right? We've all been through different things. We're all different people. No one's the same. No one handles things the same. And so, you know, not everybody would be able to relate to this. I know for sure myself that I can. I had a lot of repressed anger, and I would call it anger more than hostility, just from the years and years of abuse, you know, having to having to stuff all that just so that I could keep my job and maintain relationships with anybody, you know, later as I grew up. And some people never do learn that, and then they end up in a lot of trouble, you know, with the law and with, you know, job situations, you know. I'm able to repress it, but the problem being is that repressing that anger and not ever dealing with the issues of childhood abuse and the rage that kind of built up because of that, the abuse that I suffered, really did a lot of damage for sure. And when I would blow up, it would be usually bad. You know, something bad would come of it. It wasn't a good thing. You know, I'd either quit my job or, you know, this is later in life as an adult survivor. All of this stuff from being abused as a child affecting me later in life, because I didn't know how to handle anything properly. I couldn't deal with my own anger. I couldn't deal with conflict resolution was just not in my book. You know, it was all about protecting me, you know, protect me. I got to protect myself. That's that wounded child that I was, you know. I got to protect myself now that I'm older, you know. I need to, it's just a survival, like a protection stuff. Really absolutely horrible to take into our adult lives, right? And if we don't learn how to deal with it, it can be very damaging, I think, to our own health as well as just to our circumstances in life, right? And I still have some adult issues, you know, adult survivor issues I'm still working through. Mainly a lot of it has to do with rejection. So, you know, I tend to push people out of my life really quickly before they have a chance to push me out. So it's kind of my way of saying, look, before you dump me, I'm going to dump you, sort of thing. And so long-term relationships don't usually work for me very well. And it's kind of sad. I just don't, I haven't learned. And I guess because you really can't trust people. I've been dumped by so many people, really, rejected by my parents, and then as an adult, dumped by friends who I thought, for 12-year relationships, just being dumped and told that, I wasn't wanted in their life, sort of thing. Just more rejection, more rejection. So now, as a 51-year-old, I'm like, look, I'm going to screen you very carefully before I let you anywhere near me, because I'm not building up another 12-year relationship and just have you dump me. It's like, no, I'm just like, I'm very protective of, I don't let people in my life very often. And when I do, it's because they've proven themselves completely trustworthy. So, I mean, it's a real problem for people. But anger, I don't have so much of an issue with it now, but that's probably just because I've been doing so much work on this for about, at least a good 8, almost 9 years now of working through things. But I know I had a lot of problems with anger just when I started my healing journey, especially like around 2007, 2008, right in there. And the inner child work that I've been doing has been very helpful. I think that's probably what's helping me out, is because my inner child is allowed to express her anger, which then doesn't manifest out in my own world out here, which because it doesn't need to. This is from repressed emotions, from being abused as a child. That anger really doesn't have any business coming out in my adult life. I don't want to hurt people around me, and I certainly don't want to trash my stuff, and I don't want to hurt myself, and I don't want to ruin the rest of my adult life after being abused. Why would I want to ruin the rest of my life? I mean, that's not right. We certainly don't deserve that, So I think it's important to get in touch with this stuff and learn what's going to help you to, if you're really struggling in this area, especially, anger and hostility, to learn what's going to help you to get over it. I know there's lots of ways that they've talked about in the past. I've actually read, like, especially on Irving Studio's Child Abuse Survivor Monument, under the self-care tab, there's all kinds of stuff that a person can do, that you could to help yourself, really, to deal with this stuff. And if you don't think you can handle it, it's probably best to have somebody help you, like, counselor or therapist or whatever, because you don't want to hurt yourself or hurt somebody around you, right? You got to be very careful with this stuff. This is hard stuff to deal with. We're not talking, if it was that simple, we wouldn't be having these issues. It's very, very damaging, this stuff, and it's hard on survivors of abuse, So you want to be very careful when you're dealing with this, letting anger out. You got to be careful. You got to know that you can actually then bring yourself back to the reality of the fact that back to the present moment. This is today. This is, 2017. I'm not being abused anymore. This is from so many years ago. Writing really helped me out. Writing what I wanted to, what my the truth, my story. Just writing helped me a lot, because I got to put out there what was so incredibly wrong. It was done to my siblings and myself, not just myself, but my family, and what my parents did, and which was incredibly wrong. And they got away with it, and it's incredibly wrong what people do. They didn't even apologize. I mean, that's the sad part. They really didn't feel bad about it at all, and that's what broke my heart. I could have forgiven them. See, I could have, and that's the sad part. I could have forgiven all of that stuff. If they would have really meant it, that they were sorry, but they never ever did feel bad about what they did to us or them or each other. And so they were just, that's to me, that's evil, right? It's wrong. It's evil. And, it's like, then as an adult, it's like, wow, where does this stuff go? Well, if it doesn't get repressed, then you got to deal with it. 'Cause otherwise you push it down. And then you've got years and years of problems that need to be dealt with, and that's kind of why it's taken me so long to get through this stuff, right? It's absolutely horrific. But writing and talking about this stuff has helped me out a lot. Not everybody would want to go public with their stuff. I'm just doing this on purpose, so I'm hoping to reach other survivors, just so you're not alone. But not everybody would be comfortable with that. But make sure you reach out and get some help, counselor, therapist, whatever. I like adult anonymous support groups, like with other adult survivors who have been through sort of similar things. They know what's going on and they can help. They're very helpful. I found that very helpful. So I had joined at one point two of those anonymous groups, which I found really great. And then, just finding some trustworthy people that can help you. That's, I think, one of the main things, just knowing that you're not alone and that you can get help with this stuff, you know. You're not on your own. There is help out there, but you have to keep looking. You have to keep searching. You have to keep reaching out, right? Very important. So they said here, writing about emotions is a more effective way to buffer hostility and open up memories and emotions safely and non-destructively. So they said, according to James Pennybaker, PhD professor at Southern Methodist University, SMU, and author of Opening Up, The Healing Power of Confiding in Others, there's an unmistakable connection between emotions and immune system and endocrine activity. I guess that's something in the brain there. Words, he says, and particularly the written word, have an enormous power to heal. So that's really interesting. They said here, in a talk at the recent APA convention, Pennybaker described research in which he found that the ability to express emotions in writing bore a direct relationship to people's health and self-esteem. So in one experience, for example, Pennybaker and his colleagues found that in SMU students who could write about traumatic experiences with signs of emotional engagement are likely to make fewer visits to the doctor and have higher grade point averages than students who wrote about the same type of experiences in a more detached way, as if they were observers rather than participants. So that's interesting. That's what they had to say about that. So that's that little piece on reclaiming emotions. And the next portion of that is bargaining with the internal censor, and then nonverbal methods of releasing emotions. And then there's, I think there's a little bit more, but I'm not sure. But this is a quite lengthy article. And you can grab it from HAVOCA, HAVOCA, Information for Survivors, under the Feelings tab, and then go to where they have this Emotional Health tab. Quite interesting. So we'll move on. What do we want to look at next here for this morning? Positive reinforcement. What are we doing right in our daily walk? This is important. You know, instead of looking at the negatives, just looking at some positives, you know. It's too easy to get too way down on ourselves, you know. People just do it. You don't have to be an abuse survivor for that to happen. It's quite easy to get down on ourselves, you know, because we're all trying to multitask and trying to be the best we can be and trying to, I don't know. I don't know what the deal is with, especially with North America, you know, trying to impress somebody, but whatever, we tend to get down on ourselves. Well, I haven't gotten this done, and, you know, and then what it does is reinforces the whole issue from my past that I'm just an idiot and I'm a loser and I'm stupid and I'm a black sheep and I should have just died with the other stillborn babies, you know, stuff like that, which is horrible, but this is where my mind goes when it feels like to me like I'm not getting done what I should be getting done, or I'm just not measuring up, sort of thing, right? And so I have to look at the positives. What's going on that I'm doing right in my daily walk? So I would say this week, positive stuff. Well, I actually maintained and managed to get out of bed every day and get the things done that I was supposed to get done. I'm working on getting quite a lot of stuff done. I'm very busy. And so I have calendars and lists of things that have to be done because my husband's terminally ill, and I just have to get these things done for him because he's not capable. And so I have to do, you know, I manage the house as well as everything else. So it's like, you know, some things just have to get put onto the side, you know. So, but I'm actually managing to keep things afloat, which is really, I think, great. It's not a complete disaster. doing some, as far as self-care and stuff goes, I actually tried to get some extra rest this week, so I canceled some of my video sort of shows that I do on Ustream. Unfortunately, I had to cancel this week's shows, actually, because I had to cut something. Something had to be cut out somewhere because I'm just extremely exhausted. So I'm working on self-care as well. So I think that's a positive because I'm trying to make sure I get proper rest and proper, you know, eat right, proper rest, which is so important. You know, as a survivor of abuse, you know, growing up, I mean, that was not the main focus, right? Self-care was no care. It was called what you call care was absent, man. It wasn't in the picture. So, you know, looking after myself with no, it is actually very difficult because I have no good role models in growing up. So then I have to kind of remember to do this stuff for somebody. I have to see something that I say, oh, yeah, I should be doing that. I guess that's what other people are doing. Or, yeah, I need to get extra rest, you know. So, because I think so many people who have been abused and grow up abused, especially if you've been in a dysfunctional family situation where the abuse just went on and on and on and on, it never really did stop, you develop a lifestyle, you know, and it's not a healthy one. And so it's hard to break those patterns and break those habits, right? So I'm trying to kind of remember, yeah, eat right, sleep, I need exercise, I've got to get more exercise, you know, and work on my general health, right? So I think those are positives. That's actually something I've been, you know, working on. So we could all find something in our, we can say that's something positive in our weekly walk here, you know what I mean, instead of just looking at the negatives, right? So this one article here is from, it's just Havoka. We're just looking at Havoka's website really right now, mainly, and also the Child Abuse Survivor Monument. But Havoka's got some great stuff on there. I hope you'll go check it out. This one is the Getting Started Affirmations, Havoka. We looked at writing power on Monday. Now we're looking at people power. They said, practice your affirmations with a trusted friend. I mean, who has a trusted friend that's going to do this, you know? I would say, you know, I hope that you do. I know that it's hard to find people to talk to or they're interested in helping or being a part of our lives. People are so busy doing their own thing, really, that they don't have time for anybody else. But hopefully you've got a friend or somebody in your life that will could do this for you. I know that my husband, you know, he's very supportive of my of what I'm doing. He's very supportive of me. And so if I asked him to do something like this, I'm sure that he would. He says, practice your affirmations with a trusted friend. Sit comfortably face to face and say your affirmation in the first person. And they say here, you could say something like, I, Lori Smith, am thoroughly peaceful. This is just an example, right? I could say something that deals something more with like what my situation is I, Lori Smith, deserve to live and not die with the other stillborn babies. Because this was something I was told all the time. My mom would actually throw that at me when she was beating on me, or even when she wasn't beating on me. You know, my mom was my main abuser. Even if she wasn't beating on me, she was just yelling at me or screaming at me or angry at me for the day or whatever. She would just throw that out. Sometimes she wasn't even mad at me. She'd just be mad at my dad, or she'd be mad at life, angry at the world or whatever, throwing a fit in a tantrum or whatever, which was kind of normal for her. Periodically through the day. My mother was mentally ill as well as my dad. Both of them had mental and psychological problems, but emotional problems, everything else. And they were both abused as children, so it was just a big mess. But that's what she used to throw out at me all the time, and it really stuck because it really hurt, because I thought, you know, how could you say that to your child? How could you say that, you know, and actually mean it? See, she wouldn't say it and then say, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that, you know. She would never say that. She'd just say, she just beat on me, you know. It was just not very much fun. But anyway, so now that stuck with me as an adult, 51 years old, sitting around, you know, thinking about the fact that my mother wished that I had been born dead with the other stillborn babies. I mean, that's just great, you know. So I have to sit there and think, no, I deserve to be alive. I do deserve to be alive. Yes, I do. And that's sad, but that's true. It has to be a mantra for me. And, you know, that's why I don't kill myself, so that because I actually do believe that I do deserve to be here. And did not deserve to be treated that way at all. So I, Lori Smith, I could say, deserve to live and not die with the other stillborn babies. And I could say that over and over and over. So to have your friend say it back in the second person. So the person sitting across from you could say, you, Lori Smith, deserve to live and did not deserve to die with the other stillborn babies. Right? And this is something we can reinforce. Whatever it is in your life that somebody's, that really has impacted your life, you know, and something like that, something that comes around all the time. Or you could say something like, because I'm not into this successful crap, so it's kind of like for me to sit there and say, I, Lori Smith, am successful. I mean, I don't care about success. Like, success is like zero on my list of things that are remotely interesting to me. Success is like whatever. I don't care. I don't have time for success, you know what I mean? You know, so you got to pick something that actually means something and actually is going to stay with you. You know, I think as whatever your situation is, you know. For me, I could say, I, Lori Smith, am perfectly capable of getting things done. That's another thing that I could say. And the other person could say, you, Lori Smith, are perfectly capable of getting things done. You know, and I could agree, you know. And then you could say it together. So this is just their take on what can, you know, how we can sort of help ourselves with these positive affirmations. It has to be something that really is true about yourself, you know. They said verbalizing something to a person, family, group, or the world lends power to the statement. Say it to someone at the bus stop when they ask how you're doing. You could say, I'm thoroughly peaceful today. See your affirmation in other people and say it in the second person. You're very peaceful. Finding it and validating it in other people lends power to your own work. So I guess whatever the situation is, we can sort of help ourselves with these situations with people power. So that's quite interesting. And the next one up is recordings and then word power. List your qualities. We'll look at these. Well, we won't get very far, but we'll try Monday and next week on Monday and Friday. Affirmations from problems. And then I think another one is that I really want to look at later. We'll get to it eventually. Is positive self-talk. You can go there, havoca.org, HAVOCA.org. Survivors affirmations, top tips. So just you can check that article out yourself. It's quite lengthy. And next we'll look at creating physical boundaries. This is really important. This is a child abuse survivor monument. Kind of like coping mechanisms. How can we cope? What can I do to help myself cope? Especially if I'm having a lot of trauma, like flashbacks, PTSD type stuff, things like that. Because I do have days like that. I did not, not so much this week, but it does happen. And depends on what's triggered me. I can get triggered because, like, tonight's show might trigger me because I'll be talking tonight on another show being interviewed, so that might cause some triggers. So we can create physical boundaries. It can help us out. They said, think about this is a physical boundary, creating a physical boundary. So they said here, cross your arms or legs, experiment with changing your posture to a position where you feel grounded and empowered. This is important, right? Be aware of colors that give you strength or a sense of confidence. Use your body and no words. Practice saying no. That's important, right? We are allowed to say no. We don't have to say yes all the time, and we don't have to just let people do whatever they want to us. I know as a child, growing up, I didn't have the right to say no. I couldn't tell my mom not to beat me or, other people to not abuse me and my family. It was child sexual abuse and stuff. It's like I said no, but no was not honored or valued, so I was just abused anyway. So we then have to learn these physical boundaries. This is all very, very important. And it also helps with flashbacks and stuff so that we can have a physical boundary. And which then creates grounding, right? So grounding work is also very, very important for people. They said, think about and listen to the distance that feels comfortable between you and others. So in other words, put a distance in between you and somebody else that you think is comfortable, and that is the physical boundary, so that you can think about and listen to the distance that feels comfortable between you and others. So you can find that space that feels right for you. In between you and others, that's your comfort spot. That's your safety zone, where nobody's going to come across that line because that's a boundary issue, right? And also, from a physical sense, practice not merging with others' emotions and issues. This is a real problem for me. Cool. In a sense, practice not merging with others' emotions and issues. I'm always merging with others' emotions and issues. That's just from being abused as a child, and so it's hard for me not to do that actually. And I have to do that because the type of work that I do in my daily life, the type of job that I have, it's difficult. I find it very, very difficult to not pick up these others' emotional negativity. So I need to start practicing this, and I'm going to have to work on it. So we can create a container, and we'll read this one, and then we'll have to, that's it. We've only got a minute or two left. Create a container. Imagine an object or a place where your flashbacks can be stored. This little container, right? Imagine the flashback in a room. Imagine a point far off in the distance. See the room with the flashback moving off to a distant point, getting smaller and smaller as it gets further and further away. Find an actual object for storage. Write down flashbacks or draw flashbacks. Put them in the container, and then they can be taken out at a later date if desired. So you can put them in a little box, right? Make and decorate a container in a meaningful way. Ask someone you see as strong or supportive to give you a container. And imagine a safe person or an imaginary protector who takes care of you or creates containment of the flashback for you. And you can find your strongest place inside and provide containment for your inner child. So those are interesting. So we'll do we have 1 minute left, and I hope that you'll reach out and get some help. Don't struggle on your own. That's what I always say. Never give up, You keep looking for whatever is going to help you out, whatever it is, counselor, therapist, crisis line, whatever. This weekend, if you're struggling and you're having a hard time, many times we don't have people to talk to. There's nobody around. So you make sure you reach out and you get some help. Don't struggle on your own, right? Here's a Brandy quote. With the new day comes new strength and new thoughts. That's Eleanor Roosevelt. With the new day comes new strength and new thoughts. Eleanor Roosevelt. I like that. So everybody have a good weekend. Take really good care of yourselves. And see you next week.